So wonderful to see all of you. I know every day we hear that there are more cases of COVID, I don't know, all over the place, but just God's people willing to be here, worship the Lord, and I'm really rejoicing as I'm looking at you. I'm really, really rejoicing. Today I want to finish up the second of the first second of the series that I started maybe a month ago on the topic of human sexuality. If you could just look up here, yeah, I would appreciate that because I want to speak to you, right? Human sexuality. We have such distorted understanding and perception of what sexuality is. When we say, hear the word sexuality, you probably think of sexual activity. What we do, in other words. But that's not what it is. We talked about, depends on what's the origin of this topic of sexuality is, and there's basically two sources. One is from atheistic point of view, meaning started from nothing, excuse me, and it goes into nothing, right? The origin of life, origin of everything. So sexuality started from nothing and go back to nothing. Okay, so we kind of like established that last week, but that is not the view. And then there is a view that God created human beings, you and I, in the image of God, which includes sexuality. We are sexual beings. In other words, among other things, two things are very, very important truth. Number one, sexuality is God origin. Okay? Or nothing origin. It's up to you. Right? And number two, sexuality is not what we do, but who we are. I think that's a very, very important place to begin. In other words, it has to do with your person. It has to do with your nature and your identity. Okay, who gave you your identity? I think that's what the world is struggling right now, and in this God dishonoring society. So we talked about that last week, but today I want to begin by asking this question to all of you, which I think it may be personal. The question is it possible that you could be sanctified and set free from sexual sin and sexual temptations? I know this is a topic that probably applies to many of you, if not all of you, including myself. And of course, when I say sanctified sexually, doesn't mean you're a perfectly, completely devoted of any sexual thoughts and temptations, always victorious. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about, if you could just listen, that you're living in guilt all the time. And I know that exists. Okay. That you're living in slavery, that you are in constant engagement of pretty much constantly with sexual sin, with pornography, or sexual activities, or lust, uncontrollable, which brings a deep guilt in your heart. Okay? Feeling of not worthy. You know, I'm dirty. Deep inside, you feel like that. So you're sitting here, you feel dirty because you are living in sexual sin. Okay? Condemned. Or defeated. You feel like you're defeated all the time. It's on one area that there is nothing I can do about. Well, I'm in my 20s. I'm in my 30s. So there's nothing I can do about it. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, if you're living in that kind of stage of condemned and defeated, guilty, feeling guilty all the time, is that good? Right? Today, I want to just declare to you that is not what God has called and desire to be. God has a different will of God for you. I think that's a good news. In other words, if God wills, will it be possible? If God wills, will it happen? Okay, you answer that question. So that's what we want to talk about today. And the text that we read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let me just read it one more time, okay? In that light, if you could just look at it. Finally, then, brothers, so this is a letter to Christians, those who are in Christ, united with Christ, okay? Then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us how you ought to live and to please God. In other words, you are taught, right? And just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Sanctification is not a perfection in a moment, but it is a progressive sanctification. Salvation and justification is a moment, but sanctification is a lifetime. But here's the truth that I want to tell you. If the baby is born, he will grow. Okay? If there is a life, there's going to be growth. Okay? So, verse 2, for you know what instruction we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 3 is the key verse. And this is the will of God. Your sanctification. That's the will of God. Okay? That you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to control his own body or have a mastery of his own body in holiness and honor. Not in the passion of the lust like the Gentiles or unbelievers. Okay? Bible kind of distinguishes the two. Gentiles and unbelievers who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger. Okay. In all of these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, verse 7, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Hagiasimos, same word as sanctification. Okay? Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not men, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Okay? That's the word of the Lord. And today I pray that if you are struggling with guilt, sometimes 20, 30 years, I didn't live that long, but people struggle with this kind of stuff when they are young, third grade, fourth grade. It's not uncommon. Not just male, female too. I do not counsel women regarding this kind of topic. I don't do that. I don't think that's wise. But people confess and I refer to the right person for counseling. Okay? But over the years, I have seen people struggle with this matter starting very, very young. And they feel so defeated because they went to the retreat and they had like talked to the brothers, older brothers, and having the accountability. Sometimes they try to have like some sort of block in your computer. Nothing works. You know why it doesn't work? Because it is not the problem of external things, but problem of your heart. Idolatry. It's deeply rooted in your heart. Sort of like I was thinking, we've been talking about idolatry for the last 3 weeks, which is a human condition. We were born with this idolatrous heart. It's a heart issue, deep issue. It's in your DNA, it's in your bone, it's in your blood. We were born in sin, live under sin, as a slave of sin, and you die in sin. That's human destiny, according to the scripture. And then you stand before the judgment of God. And I have to mention that word all the time because that judgment of God, which you and I will stand, is the basis of the message of the cross. Because the cross is the judgment of God. Okay? So this is a real topic. If you're struggling with this topic, listen carefully today. Perhaps Lord will deliver you. Perhaps today. Can I just explain a little bit of a historical background of Thessalonica? It's in northern Greece, the region called Macedonia. Macedonia and southern Greece is called Achaia, where Corinth and Athens and places like that. But on the northern Greece, which we see in the book of Acts during Paul and Silas' second missionary journey, particularly Thessalonica, you will see in chapter 19 of book of Acts. It's a real historical place, still there, okay? First century Greco-Roman world was a shameless culture. It's just sexually, like, gross. How bad is it? It's worse than what it is right now. Can you even imagine it? It's pretty bad right now. The morality and the standard is just, if you agree with me, it's declining rapidly. Anything goes now, right? Anything goes, basically. But it was worse in first century. Think with me historically. Christianity came about in the first century, Jesus and Paul. It just begun in a small place called Palestine in the first century. So the effect of Christianity in terms of morality, the like marriage and ethics did not influence the whole Roman world until second or third century. So before that, it was just chaotic, okay? So it was pretty much a culture that people live in. You know, physical appetite, impulsiveness, superficial emotions, whatever, if you feel like it, do it. You know, kind of culture, especially sexually. And it was so bad that, let me give you an example. This is a common picture of a man in first century Greco-Roman world. He would have his wife, and he would have his concubine, another wife, and he would have a slave just for sexual fulfillment, just for the sexual purpose. Okay, I'm just explaining this in historical, cultural view. And then on top of that, there are prostitutes. And it's okay to go to the prostitutes. And that's not it. There were cultic religions, and we see it in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament. Basically, their way of worship or engage or commune with their deity is to have relationship with prophetesses, women priests, who are basically temple prostitutes. And you see that in the, all over the New Testament. Corinthians, Thessalonica, all over the places. Can you imagine that? Can you picture that? I mean, don't picture it too profoundly, but wife, concubine, sex slave, and prostitutes, and all kinds of temple worship, which shows what idolatry and sexual immorality, like very, very graphically. That's the kind of life people were living, and get this, and then they heard the gospel, and they become a Christian. Can you imagine that? Someone who had wife, someone who had concubine, someone who had sex slave, someone who had like prostitutes anytime you want, and then temple worship. That's how you live for the last 20, 30 years, and you are saved by grace. Can you imagine the transition? That's the context Paul is writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. Okay, that's the picture, which is amazing if you think about it. God could change people. I don't know whether you believe. I really believe God could change people. God could really change a sexual addict like Augustine to the Augustine of history. Did you know that? He was a sex addict. Did you know that? Paul, Saul, his name was Saul, he was a legalist, right, who was so hostile and who was so like against Christianity, became Paul of grace. Do you see the change? I don't know whether you believe. Do you believe? Do you believe, people? Do you believe God could set you free from your sexual lifestyle? If not, what do you believe? You know what it is? Here's the thing. Salvation is by faith and faith alone. Okay, we will be studying that in Galatians for like next several months. There is no way human beings could go to holy God and be standing before his perfect, infinite holiness. You'll be consumed. You'll be consumed. You'll be burned. Because God is a consuming fire. You cannot go to God with your limited little bit of serving goods. You can never do that. That's why you need God's righteousness, which is in Jesus. That's his perfect righteousness. So salvation is by faith alone. Here's a question. Stay with me. So you've been saved from that kind of life as a saint. Do you think God will leave you alone in that lifestyle? Could you think with me? You had a wife, concubine, sex slave, and prostitution, and temple prostitute. You lived that life all your life, and God saved you by grace, and he's going to leave you like that? Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't make any sense. God will change you. That's what that is. This is the will of God. It's your sanctification. He's going to change you. Progressive sanctification. But here's the thing. There's a clear distinction. People who are in Christ, and then there are people who are not in Christ. Those people who are in Christ were birthed, born again, and you will see the change. If those who have not born again, never birthed, no life, you will not see the change. That I have to make it clear. Okay? So salvation is by grace, and God's going to change you, and it is by faith and faith alone. You cannot save yourself with your work. What about the sanctification? Is that by your work? Absolutely not. Sanctification by faith and faith alone in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to explain to you today. Because so many people say, how come it doesn't work? I try, you know, I don't know, the computer, all these, what do you call that? You know what I'm talking about. Like, I put this blockage, you know. Doesn't work because your heart needs to change. You need a new heart, new spirit. But most importantly, you need the Spirit of God in you. The difference between Christian and non-Christian is Holy Spirit. Which is what we see in verse 8. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not men, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to Christians. The difference between non-Christian, those who are not in Christ, and Christ is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit reside in you. You have a new master. Holy Spirit is God. Who's going to win, sexual immorality or God? God. Holy Spirit is the master, and he is the third person of triune God. Spirit of God, Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of holiness. I hope you hear the word holy, Holy Spirit. Do you hear the word holy? It's there, right? If you walk with the Holy Spirit, if you live with the Holy Spirit, if he begins to reign and be a master of your life, you will become holy. That's what sanctification is. And it is by faith. Okay? So, that's how people lived. And as some of you are maybe living like that, sexually, just uncontrollably, right? You're addicted to pornography. Every night you have to watch it. And you feel gross, right? And then you go to try to go to bed. But you still come to church, which I praise God you do. I do, actually. Because God could change you. That's the kind of people that God changed in first century Thessalonica and Corinth. And here is an evidence. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians, another gross kind of church. Corinthianizing, this is such expression. People were sexually chaotic in Corinth. Okay? And this is what Paul wrote to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Oh, do you not know that unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? These people will not get into the kingdom of God. No salvation. Listen carefully. Do not be deceived. You know, don't be cheated. This is the word of God. These people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither sexually immoral. On top of the list is the sexual immorality. Those who are slave to sexual immorality. Can you believe that? That's number one list. Second, idolatry. Interesting. They go hand in hand. They're like twin sisters. They always go hand in hand. Sexual immorality and idolatry. And then adultery, adulterers, number three. Number four, those men who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. Number five, thieves. Number six, greedy. Number seven, drunkards. You get drunk all the time. Revilers or swindlers will not inherit the kingdom of God. But that's not what I want to share today. What comes after is amazing. Verse 11 says, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 then says, and such were some of you. Did you hear it? Such were some of you. Oh, that's an amazing statement, isn't it? Such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of our God. Okay? Meaning, before you become a Christian, that's how you lived. Sexually immoral, with prostitutes, concubines, temple worship, pornography, right? Idolatry, you know, and adultery. Practice homosexuality, thieves, greed, and alcoholics, revilers, and swindlers. But such were some of you, meaning you have been delivered from that. I don't know about you, but this is such an encouragement to me personally. And I'm hoping that you are listening right now and begin to have faith. Perhaps God could deliver me. Perhaps God could deliver me. Okay? Such were some of you, but you have been washed, sanctified. Okay? I go back to that question again. You are living like that garbage dump. And he saves you, and he's going to leave you in that lifestyle? Does that make any sense? No way. He washed you. Ezekiel 36, we read it last night in Bible study. Remember Ezekiel 30, chapter 16, I explained to you about idolatry. We're like whores. Sorry. Whores who do not get paid to do it, but whores who give money to people to be whore. That's how God sees Israelites. That is no small problem, people. That is not something I try and I get better kind of problem. Right? So God brings judgment, but amazingly, Ezekiel chapter 16 does not stop there. I am not doing this for you, God says to Israelites. I am not doing this for you, but my own holy name, I'm going to remember my covenant with you. And I'm going to atone you. I'm going to pay for your sin. Make a new covenant. That's the gospel, people. That's the Christianity. So God washes you, sanctifies you, justify you, and save you in the name of the Lord. And he's gonna clean you up. You're going to become more and more like Jesus. Do you see the picture of Christian life? You used to live like that, just like Thessalonians in first century Greco-Roman world people. You were living in that kind of life, and he saves you and he's going to leave you there? It doesn't make any sense. So the first thing you need to come to Christ and become a Christian so the Holy Spirit will live in you. That's the first thing you need to do. If that does not happen, you are still in this world. Humanity could be divided into two categories. Humanity, whole humanity. Okay? One without the Son and one with the Son. That's how Jesus divides. Those who do not have Son, those who have Son has moved from death to life. But those who do not have Son still standing condemned. You're one of the two. Every single one of you. You're one of the two. Okay? I think this is such an encouraging message. Such were some of you. I believe homosexuals could become Christian. I really do, actually. I don't think adulterous homosexuality, premarital sex, there is a degree of sin. No, I don't think so. It's all rebel against God. It offends God. Sin offends God in a way so much more than it offends you. You know why? Because he's infinitely holy. Do you understand that? We're not, so it doesn't bother us that much. But to him, because he's infinitely holy, any trace of sin bothers him. And his rancor has to destroy that sin and punish that sin. And he did. And he will. Remember? That's why, you know, we'll stand before the judgment of God is the ground that I could speak about the cross of Christ. Because Jesus' cross is the judgment of God for those who believe in him. Okay? So encouraging. So Paul is writing to believers and saints in Thessalonica who are striving to live a life of a believer. And I hope that's your case. And I know you are. Okay? So we urge you, just as you are doing, continue to walk a life to please God more and more. And how do you do that? How do you do that? You need to walk with the person of the Holy Spirit. If not, you are not walking. You are in the darkness. What do we call that? We call that sanctification. Hagiasmos, which means, let me just explain what it means. It means to separate yourself from sin and separate it for God. Could you look at me, please? Because I want to give you a very important doctrinal statement here. Sanctification means set you apart from sin and set you apart for God. Do you see it? You cannot do both. You know? You can't. You are separated. You have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. That's what sanctification and salvation is. And if you notice what follows right after that, this is the will of God, your sanctification, semicolon. It says that you abstain from sexual immorality. And a couple of thought that comes to my mind is that if salvation is by God, sanctification is by God as well. Can I just make that clear to you? Sanctification is not your work, it's God's work. Okay? Maybe I'm shocking some of you. Maybe not. But I want to make this doctrine very, very clearly, teaching of the scripture very, very clearly. We know only by grace we could be saved. From our filthiness to the infinite holiness of God, we've been accepted by faith in Christ. And how do we become more and more like Jesus and sanctified? Your own work? No, it's not. It is by faith and grace alone, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as you learn to walk with the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what the scriptural teaching is. It says it is the will of God. Thelema. I believe what he purposes, it's going to be fulfilled. What he wills will be carried out. That's the will of God, your sanctification. God saved you, and God's going to make you clean. Okay? That's the will of God. So, again, I ask you this question. Will it be possible that God could free you from sexual sin, your pornography? Absolutely. Absolutely. I pray that God will deliver one person today. Seriously. Some of you may be been struggling for 20 years. It's possible. I've seen it. More than once. Okay? Will it be fulfilled? Absolutely, it'll be fulfilled. Will it happen? Absolutely, because this is the will of God. That's what he's going to carry out. Bible answers, yes, absolutely. Sanctification is God's work, and God's grace is primarily by work and the power of the Holy Spirit, not you. Not you. It's the Holy Spirit in you. But first, you need to become a Christian first. Right? Otherwise, you're on your own. You're helplessly idolatrous and sexually immoral. Whole human races. Okay, so therefore, he will carry it on and he will bring it to completion. You know, it is the will of God and you abstain from sexual immorality. I have two thoughts. First thing is, if it is the will of God, I'm going to ask you and I want you to answer. Will you obey? How many of you want to obey? Would you say amen? I think that's the first place. Do you want to obey? Sometimes you don't want to obey. You're not there yet. You don't want to obey. You know the difference between non-Christian and Christian? Christian becomes, God gives new heart, so you desire to obey. That's what it means to be a Christian. You know why you don't want to obey? Perhaps you need Christ in your life. Perhaps. This is the will of God. Second thought that comes to my mind is sexual immorality is sort of like the gateway. Did you notice? Such people will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the first on the list is sexual immorality. It's like the gate. Some of you may be there, oh, I need to get my act together and clean up my life. There's a difference between you thinking about that and then you grab the door and then you walk in. Have you walked in? Or you're just thinking about it? But every night you are helpless. Over the years, I've seen so many people, Christian men, struggling with this area, talking to me, talking to older brothers, 20 years, 30 years. You become 40 years old, 50 years old, someone like myself. You think it better, it just goes away by itself? It never does. It never does. You just become better at just hiding it. But have you come to a place where you sincerely given this area of your life to the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus? Have you been there? Have you ever been to that place? Actually, you came to the foot of the cross, and even this sexual sin area, Lord, I want to commit it to you. I want to put my faith in you. Have you been there? Let me ask you, how many of you believe that Jesus died for your sin? Could you say amen? Does that include your sexual sin? Of course. Does that include your idolatry? Of course. And if you put that aside, that means probably you do not believe. So my point is, sanctification is by faith, belief. So the fact that you are not surrendering that area of your life is the unbelief. Unbelief. Which is causing you, and Satan is using that as a snare in your life. Snare. That's the chain you have. You may not know it, but that's the chain. Can you picture a slave with chain? your feet and your hand and your slave. That's the chain. And you try to break it, but you can't. You try to do something otherwise, but you can't because you are a slave. That chain, that snare, needs to be broken in your life. Who could do that? You can't do that. Only the power of the blood of Jesus can do that. Would you surrender today? Seriously, brothers. Or are you just going to continue to live as a hypocrite? People live as a hypocrite. You know, deep inside, you're guilty all the time. You feel you're not worthy. But Jesus died for you. He's asking you to come. Put your faith in Him. Trust in Him. But you're not willing to do that. Okay? So, I hope today you'll be willing to do that. Verse 4. Okay? Verse 4 says, that each one of you know how to control his own body. If you are in Christ, led by the Spirit, you'll learn how to control your own body in holiness and honor. Very, very important. In other words, you need to pay attention as a Christian. If you walk with the Holy Spirit, He will make you do that. Where you feel you are weak, under what circumstance you know you'll be defeated, what is your propensity? What is your weakness? You'll begin to know if you walk with the Holy Spirit, right? Can I just talk to you about screen time? We worship smartphone. That's one idol people do. How many of you check your screen time? You don't even want to look at it, right? Because it's so embarrassing. Wow, 14 hours. We are addicted and worship smartphone. I share this in Korean congregation too. It's not just the young people. It's all mothers too, actually. They spend time with Kakao and smartphone and screen time. And what do you see? What do you spend time with? Anything productive? Anything clean? Anything that'll just purify your heart? I'm sure you can't, but do you? Is that what your smartphone screen time is about? Can you imagine all the images that you see? What's happening to your brain and in your heart? Can you imagine all these lies that you're hearing? Can you imagine all these, I don't know, violence and sexual images that you're watching? And you expect sanctification? It doesn't make any sense, right? My point is, let's not do that. That's not what I'm saying. But the Holy Spirit is saying, you learn to control your life. You learn to control your life as Holy Spirit tells you and you obey Him. You know, one of the things that I do is I leave my phone in my room and I go out of room. I don't carry it with me. I don't. Because I know my propensity. I like to check it. I like to respond text and emails really, really quickly. I don't like people who takes like a couple days to respond. So my propensity is I want to check it often. So these days, Lord really convicted me. So I just leave it there, corner. I don't even look at it. Learn to control your own body. Otherwise, all these things, images, and all this garbage, all this filth is flooding into your heart. You don't think that's affecting your marriage? You don't think that's affecting your mind? You don't think that affects your desires of your heart? So the scripture is telling us to listen to the Holy Spirit and have a good mastery over your life. I want to give you a couple of verses. One is from Romans and second is from Galatians. Okay, Romans 8 verse 13 says, listen to this. This is right on, okay? If you live according to your flesh, you will die. If you live according to your flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit and put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. It cannot be more clear than this. I told you, there are only two categories of people. You're living in the flesh without Christ, not uniting with Christ. There is no Holy Spirit. If you live according to flesh, you will die. You will die eternally. But if you live in the Spirit and put to death the deeds of your body, of your flesh, you will live. Okay? One more verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of your flesh. Okay? I think the key to Christians for this fighting sexuality and idolatry and for sanctification is walking with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But first, you need the Spirit of God. You need to come to Christ first. Otherwise, you don't have Spirit to work with. But when you have Spirit of God in you, and you need to walk with the Holy Spirit, and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and by filling your mind with not smartphone screen time things, but with such a beautiful things of God, Word of God. Do you see the difference? As you do that, Holy Spirit will minister to you. You begin to think about such things, beautiful things, godly things. And then you will think about people who are maybe struggling. You know, I was just so blessed yesterday. It was really cold, and people were thinking about people who will be in the cold. Do you think about things like that? I was like, oh, because I didn't think of it. But there are people who think about things like that. It's a different world, people. It's a different world. And a lot of times, people think, oh, that's an area that I cannot help. I try so many times, it doesn't work. I'm defeated. It has to be my age. I'm in my 20s. My hormone is just too strong. My testosterone is just too high. No, no, people. Scripture says. So fill your mind with the Word of God. Tell me you're continue filling your mind. And you could never do that unless you have a desire, though. That desire comes from Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to come to Christ. Otherwise, your desire is not, you know, the Word of God. Your desire is, I don't know, smartphone, screen time things. Right? I want to just go to the last point, last couple of verses, which I think is the reason why we want to live this life of sanctification. And Paul gives two reasons. One is a negative reason. The other one is the positive reason. Verse 6, it says, no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter because the Lord is an avenger. That's the negative reason. Okay? Nor Lord is an avenger. In all these things, and we are told beforehand and solemnly warned you. What's the second reason? God has not called you to impurity. God called you, which is a huge encouragement. You think if he called you, he's going to leave you alone? He called you not for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, what did he do? Whoever regards this, disregards not men, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. The positive reason is he has given you Holy Spirit. Negative reason is he's an avenger. Let me explain quickly. One, when we say Lord is the avenger, the word avenger, I don't know, you're probably thinking about movie, but actikos and decay means justice. God is God of justice. You know, we want justice, right? And the truth of the Bible is you will see justice. We're all going to see justice. And he has to punish and avenge all unrighteousness. Sexual immorality is unrighteousness. Idolatry is unrighteousness. That's why he's the avenger. He's God of justice. He's going to avenge. He's going to punish. Right? So that's why We want to live life of sanctification. The second reason, the positive reason is, he called you. Could you look at me? God called you. God called you. Will you listen to him? Or would you want to just still live in darkness for the rest of your life? Would you come to the light? He called you. And he has given you Holy Spirit if you come by faith. You know, when I think about he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not graciously give us all things? Romans 8:32. And the greatest gift that God has given to those who come to him in faith is the Holy Spirit. You probably, maybe not thinking like that, but Holy Spirit is the greatest gift. Remember, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, what father among you, if your son asks for a fish, and you will give him, instead of the fish, give him a serpent? What father among you, if your son asks for an egg, and you will give him a scorpion? Do you see the logic? If you then, who are evil, you're a human being, you're evil, and yet you still know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more will Heavenly Father will give you the good gift, will give you the Holy Spirit? Do you hear it? It's an amazing statement. We human beings, although we are wicked, we know we want to give best things to our children. And how much more will Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit so that you don't live in filth for the rest of your life? And standing before the avenge or the judgment of God. But you could be sanctified by grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to close with one final thought. Listen to me carefully now. Sexual immorality is a snare. It's a snare. It's a chain. You're chained. You know it is a chain. Slavery, to hold you in that helpless state, secretly believe this is an area that I cannot do anything about. Is that you? You're listening to a lie. God is speaking to all of us today. You're living in this defeated, guilt, cold, always hiding. You have to act. You have to live as an hypocrite. And you hate that, but you cannot help it. You know what that is? That's unbelief. Jesus died for you and died for your sin, including your sexual sin. The power of the blood of Jesus is greater than your sexual sin. You need to come in faith. It's a faith issue. Power of the gospel, power of the blood of Jesus, the power of God and Son of God can set you free and bring sanctification in your life. And I hope one of you would say, yes, amen. Seriously. I know some of you struggled for 20 years. I know you are here. There's no doubt in my mind. Would you come to the foot of the cross by faith today? Oh, yeah, I know I need to do that. I need to get my act together. I need to, you know, work on it. No, not that. Come to him by faith because you are helpless. Okay? With your sin and just give to him. Give to him. He's not asking for your gift. He's asking for your sin. So many of us are so afraid to go to God because he's going to take my life away, my money away. Don't worry about it. There's nothing that you have he does not have. Come to him with your helpless state and sin. Come with that kind of brokenness and repentance, people. For his heart is going after you. Would you come in faith and lay down all your sin, including your sexual sin, your idolatry? I believe Jesus saves, and his blood makes me white as snow. That's what we sang today. It really does, people. The blood of Christ saves, and it's going to make you white as snow. Let's bow before the Lord.